There are all manner of heroes and anti-heroes in the movies. Some rub shoulders with the gods, some are human but of noble descent, some are like Marlon Brando in a sweaty t-shirt and jeans, bullies, more tough than good. Then there's the professional, the hero for whom daring do is just another day at the office. That's Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible 3. He's ice cold up against the hissing and spilling Philip Seymour Hoffman, our own ice cold professional. Elvis Mitchell joins us. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can track a certain lineage here. Now, Mission Impossible was a popular series in the 1960s, and it seemed to pick up from The Untouchables, which, of course, was the series that first celebrated Treasury agent Elliot Ness in Prohibition Chicago. What are some of the qualities of this kind of hero we're talking about that maybe we can trace back to TV in the 60s?
Well, if we look at this current Mission Impossible movie, you've got two guys between Tom Cruise and Philip Seymour Hoffman who are dealing with each other as professionals. There's a sequence where Hoffman talks about what he's going to do to get his revenge, and it's sort of as cold-blooded and precise as basically an architect describing what he's going to do with a site, how he's using all the resources and the limitations that he has to make himself heard professionally. And I think that goes back a ways to The Untouchables in its original incarnation as a TV show, and to Mission Impossible in its original incarnation, and Star Trek as well. Well, what's important to all these working professionals is to get the job done right to the exclusion of everything else. And it's what's become the stuff of drama over many, many years in television, until basically now it's almost all we see.
Now, there's a creative force, an auteur, as we might put it, whose name might surprise people, who you think is, if not behind all of it, at least figures into it prominently.
All these shows were supported by one man, and that man is Desi Arnaz. Was probably the first person to really bring home life and work life into entertainment in the old I Love Lucy show. And you use the word auteur jokingly, but I would actually say that he was probably television's first auteur.
That's
using that idea of making work and home life, professional life and home life, part of the same continuum, and saying that who we are as Americans, interesting given that he wasn't born in America, who we are as Americans, we define ourselves first and foremost as professionals, and we can sort of extrapolate and go from I Love Lucy to The Untouchables to Star Trek to Mission Impossible to Alias to Law and Order. They're all part of the same thing. Arnaz is first and foremost in this, and I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves.
Mm. He as executives go, he was a creative force, wasn't he?
Undeniably that. I mean, Desi Arnaz is the man who helped with Karl Freund, who was the cinematographer during the German Expressionist days. Between the two of them, they create what we think was now being the live audience three-camera sitcom for I Love Lucy. It had not been done before.
Where's Lucy?
Oh, I don't know. Ever since this co-op election started, she's never home. She's out campaigning.
Yeah, Ethel, too. She's rushing that new member right off her feet.
You mean Ruth Knickerbocker?
Yeah.
Well, I hope she votes for Ethel.
Well, I don't. Just think how involved my life will be if Ethel is president of that club.
Listen, you just think how involved my life is with Lucy just being Lucy.
Isn't it strange that we've had several generations of people growing up who still think of Desi Arnaz as the, as the Cuban band leader who had a thick accent and spoke in a lot of malaprops, when in fact, and this is saying quite a bit, because I Love Lucy might be on the air in Uzbekistan and 30 other countries even as we speak, he really had lasting influence as a creative talent.
Well, you certainly talk about that character that he played, Desi Arnaz, basically sort of you know, making fun of himself, putting himself up as that person who really couldn't sort of speak to people, was made fun of when he talked. But when he played, even on the show, he was taken seriously.
If you like music, I'll give you music. As we go riding in the dark, I'll sing a Spanish love song to the strains of my guitar.
He wasn't a joke as a musician or an artist, and that was important too. That's also key to the conception in all these shows. You can say somebody maybe doesn't know how to deal with the rest of the world outside of that job, but when it comes to performing literally and figuratively in that function, there's nobody better and nobody takes it more seriously. And that's what we got from that show too, which I think people also kind of give short shrift to.
Elvis, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Elvis Mitchell, our entertainment critic here on Weekend Edition, is also host of The Treatment on KCRW.
My horse and carriage has been hired, senor, for just as long as you desire, senorita. We're gonna ride, we're gonna ride.